Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the last Three Martini Lunch podcast for the year 2011. Jim and I are in our tuxedos, virtually speaking. We're ready for the clock to strike midnight, even though it's a little over 24 hours away. We've got our champagne, we've got our martinis, we've got our poppers and our hats and everything else. And it's finally the end of our year-end awards series that we began last Friday. And, of course, we saved the best here for the last podcast for 2011 with our Person of the Year, Turncoat of the Year, and our resolutions for the year 2012. And Jim, who's your person of the year?
This one was almost a no-brainer, and I'm glad I'm getting to go first so I can steal the most obvious nomination and make your pick much harder.
Right.
My nominee is the U.S. Navy SEALs. I think that the killing of Osama bin Laden will be, you know, this is the sort of thing people will sing songs about and be joyous about. I think it was emotionally for me a high point of the year. There are some people who would say, oh, how can you feel good that someone has died? Well, because it's friggin' Osama bin Laden. That's why I feel good about it. And I think every American should feel good about the signal it sends. And it doesn't matter how big a bad guy you think you are. Doesn't matter how tough you think you are, how smart you think you are. Doesn't matter how good, how well you hide. Sooner or later, the U.S. military will find you and they will get you. And, you know, as for what the eternal punishment for bin Laden is, that's really not for us mere mortals to say. The job of our guys is just to arrange the meeting with the divine. And it has occurred. And so, you know, I will drink to that. And I will, if I ever get a chance to fly over the Indian Ocean, I might relieve myself just to mark that. That's one last little, you know, my grotesque point to end this morbid selection for Person of the Year. Nonetheless, we all live in a better and safer world because of these people, and the Navy SEALs probably could win it every year considering the stuff that they do. But that's my nominee. Certainly, 2011 was the year of the U.S. Navy SEAL.
I have to agree with that. I think the U.S. military, regardless of whether you think the president's right in removing the troops from Iraq, the job they've done there over the last 8 years has been phenomenal. They've gone through some very hard times, both in terms of the combat zones, the insurgencies there, trying to deal with a recalcitrant government that was obviously in the growing stages, having to deal with political backlash back home over the whether or not the mission should continue. And so between that and obviously the taking out of Osama bin Laden, as you mentioned, as well as those who were involved in the drone program to take out Anwar al-Awlaki, certainly deserving of the Person of the Year. Politically, I think runners-up ought to be folks like Scott Walker, who really had the political courage to really move forward on what he promised to do and addressing unions and benefits and having them contribute more, addressing collective bargaining. It wasn't easy. Other states followed his lead, but he was really the guy at the tip of the movement. And for a guy who was barely on the job a month, if that, that was definitely a courageous thing to do. And in Congress, real quickly, the Bulldog, Daryl Issa, definitely one of the nominees this year for holding the administration's feet to the fire in Fast and Furious and some other things. But I think you're right, Jim. Clearly, the Navy SEALs and the U.S. military, as they should have been probably the last 10 years, the person of the year. On to the turncoat of the year. And I'm going to give it to President Obama for one specific reason, although there's certainly many I could give it to him for. And that's the situation early in 2011 with Egypt. And I know a lot of people, and for good reason, don't really like Hosni Mubarak. He wasn't extremely fair to his own people. But when you have to deal with the Middle East, you deal with the folks who create the most stability from a national security point of view. And this is a guy who had lived up to the Camp David Accords with Israel, providing a secure border there as best as we can see. It's a guy who was a friend of the United States. And we had absolutely no idea what was going to follow in the footsteps of this Arab Spring there. We did note the Muslim Brotherhood was behind it. Now, of course, we're seeing that they're leading the charge towards a much more radical country at a time when the president should have been more interested in what's in the best long-term security interest of the United States. He instead kicked our longtime friend to the curb, and we're all the weaker as a result of that.
You make a strong, compelling case for that. I myself am going to go with somebody who I really like and admire for this category, but it was a stunning about-face, and I ended up being not even necessarily disagreeing with the decision made. I just found it, you know, rather surprising considering past rhetoric. By the way, this is for the turncoat of the year of 2011. If John Huntsman or Ron Paul end up running a third party bid, that would make them turncoat of the year in 2012. So I'm hoping neither one of those guys succumbs to that temptation. No, my nominee for turncoat of the year is Thaddeus McCotter, congressman from Michigan, a guy who I always kind of thought was a funny and smart and interesting guy who has this rather deadpan Stephen Wright style delivery when making his points. It's a congressman from Michigan, and early on, I mean, he jumped into the race, and one of the things that seemed to be motivating him was that he was not a fan of Mitt Romney. And at one point in June 8th, he goes as far as to say, Romney and Mr. Obama are not rivals, they are running mates. So then, 3 months later, when he dropped out of the race, he endorsed Mitt Romney. Now, maybe in Michigan, that's the sort of thing you got to do. Maybe it looked like Romney was the automatic front runner and it was the safe. I don't quite know the McCotter logic on that. I just know that when you go from vehemently denouncing somebody, and I think, you know, comparing them to Obama, saying that he's Obama's running mate, I think is about as you know, harsh a thing as you can say in a Republican primary. To turn around and endorse them is a surprising change of loyalty and assessment. And I think it does not reflect terribly well on Thaddeus McCotter. I'm going to say it's a one-time lapse. I think still think fairly well of the guy, but I just think it was a moment of political expedience that is kind of surprising coming from a regular truth teller.
On to our final one, and this is not an award so much as our New Year's resolution for 2012. I should point out that, Jim, I think we've upheld our 2011 resolutions pretty well. You promised to be more optimistic. I promised to be as tough on Republicans as I thought they deserved to be and not be just a cheerleader. And I think we've done pretty well in that sense. And mine comes along pretty much the same way here in 2012, because heading into a presidential election year, the temptation will certainly be to do everything possible and say whatever possible to affect an outcome that we would like to see in November of 2012. But I think objectivity is something that is certainly sorely lacking in the mainstream press on the left. And for us to have an absence of it from our perspective would be hypocritical, to say the least. And so fairness and objectivity as much as humanly possible in the upcoming presidential campaign is my goal, my resolution for 2012.
Greg, I will endorse that that resolution. But I would note objectivity and fairness are two separate things. I think on Three Martini Lunch, we should always aim to be fair. But who are we kidding? We're not objective. We have strong opinions about all these guys. And so the question is, can we have our strong opinions? Can we give a fair shake to even the folks we don't like? And certainly I will echo that resolution. No, I have a more particular one that, you know, kind of alludes to potential future plans of this podcast. For listeners who may not have heard this, there's serious discussion of doing a video version. And but it will not surprise people to learn that most days I dress like a slob. If I don't have to meet anyone, I don't have to be shaven. I don't have to comb my hair. I don't have to dress well. I just, you know, drop off the boys and work in my home office most days. So now, if I'm not going to appear on video every day, I'm going to have to keep myself better put together and keep the office behind me clean, et cetera, et cetera. So you will be seeing a neater, cleaner, trimmer Jim Garrity in the year to come. Even if we end up having technical difficulties and the video thing never quite comes to fruition. And, you know, technical difficulties in this program are not unheard of, as some right. listeners undoubtedly have picked up. Nonetheless, I think this will be worthwhile, and I think it's a good thing for me to do anyway. So a less sloppy Jim in the year to come, and hopefully that will reflect to a cleaner and more concise argument for a change in leadership in 2012. So I am with you, Greg, in that hope, and we will see what the year to come brings
yeah.
to us.
Yeah, we look forward to bringing the video version online. And, you know, Jim, if you want to take, you know, one step at a time, remember, Andy Rooney had a pretty good run with a horribly messy office for like 30 years. So if you need to take a break on one of those resolutions, I'd start with that one. But
you're right. Think about all the time I could save on eyebrow grooming. Greg, do you ever notice how some people's desks, they just have piles of books behind? Anyway, yes, all right, I will stop. I don't want to end. Should I really end the year on an Andy Rooney impression?
Why not?
Anyway.
It's as good as anything.
On that note, Greg, Happy New Year. Looking forward to 2012 with you, and hope all of our listeners continue to join us in the undoubtedly exciting year to come.
Sounds fantastic. Jim, have a great New Year with your family as well, and we'll get cracking right before the Iowa caucuses here next week. Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus. Happy New Year to all, and we'll see you next week.